This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Cardinal basketball when you can't be at the game. For a buy one, get one free entree, text CRUNCH to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from the wintry lands of Narnia. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumb's Revenge, and I'm sitting here with
Mark Leckebaker at U of L Sheriff 50.
And we are ready to talk football, basketball, program updates, and about the O-line party we just had. It's The Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Topic of the week.
Mark, what's going on?
Oh, just hanging out, trying to stay warm, keeping everything in front of me.
Yep, snowpocalypse has finally actually come. We've had so many warnings of snowpocalypse.
Remember, and nothing.
Yeah, and nothing happened. So.
Oh my God, I have so much bread and milk. And, you know, it's about to expire and go moldy, but now I can actually use it or eat it.
I think I found that I actually only drink milk when it snows.
Really?
It's just I think it's biological. You know, everyone goes to the grocery store and empties the shelves.
I don't understand why it's always bread and milk. I don't buy bread and milk normally. So, yeah. Like, why am I buying bread and milk now? I don't even understand. It's just like a response that happens. I'm conditioned.
I've got it. We're Louisville off King Louis. He's French. So, bread and milk can make, you know, that's some starter for French toast.
That's what it is. It's
a biological French reaction is for us to go bread and milk. Get some cinnamon, get a little vanilla and throw in it, make some French toast at home.
Everybody's buying milk and bread. My cart is full of Doritos and junk food.
There we go.
It's just incredible.
There we go. Eating like a little kid.
That's right. Oh, definitely.
All right. Well, we've had quite a week. Just real quick at the top, we want to personally thank everyone who came out and joined us at the O-Line Grill for our game watch party that we had for UConn.
Absolutely. You know, it was a great turnout. Like, I couldn't believe the first time we had it, the amount of crowd
broke
that
the
we
fire
had.
Code.
Broke fire
I'm
code.
I'm sure that aggravated some people. Probably couldn't get service.
Yeah, and you know, and then this time around, we were much better prepared for it. The restaurant was too, and the food is great. I think everybody had a good time. Big Time Yurts was there. I'd like to thank them, and I hope everybody, you know, was able
Big
to win.
Big Time
a prize.
Yurts was selling $10 yurts.
$10
I was all over
yurts.
That. I got the Miami U Mad Bro shirt,
and they even gave a few away. So I was like. I was like, "What? They're giving them away at $10, and then they're literally giving them away
for $0
for
prizes.
$0,
yeah, that
for
was
prizes. And we had to pop a shot going. We were teaching kids how to play beer pong on Wii.
We were teaching them, but it was funny. They gravitated to that more than they gravitated to the pop a shot, and the adults were playing pop a shot.
Yeah, I was all about pop a shot.
It was like,
and it was good to see all the good people that we normally interact with on Twitter and in person, and
yeah,
just all
fun.
In one place and get together, watch a little Cardinal basketball. I don't get to do that a whole lot during the season, so it's exciting for me to be able to do that because I go to so many of these games, and when something huge happens, I don't even get to express myself. So to be able to do that. Big for me. It's special for me. So I was appreciative of everybody who came.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good turnout. All the tables were full. There was a lot of cards, cheers. If you didn't get to catch us this time, catch us next time in February. We're going to host one for the road game against Cincinnati. I think it's a noon game. It'll be a lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
But it will be they just let us take over the bar. It's really cool. And they staffed up the wait staff because the first party, we were like, I don't know, 20 people might come and 140 showed up. So it got a little ridiculous and a lot of people had to leave. But this time, he now knows for all of our parties, both behind the bar and wait staff are going to be stocked up. So it was not an issue. We had a great time. Everyone got what they wanted last time, and it was a lot of fun. They just let us take over the bar. I mean, they let us, we run microphones. We give away prizes. We're playing music. We've got games going on. So it's not just a game there. We got other things to get folks involved. So check us out at the O-Line Grill or anytime. They've got a great Super Bowl special going on.
It's incredible. Actually, it's probably the best Super Bowl special or any kind of special I've ever even heard of, period. But all you can eat, wings,
and
pizza, and beer.
Beer.
For $20, an hour before kickoff.
To the fourth quarter.
The
that's like
four
hours.
Quarter. It's an incredible. I mean, just think about the Super. The halftime show is an hour long for the Super Bowl because they have to move in all the sets. They have to have the performance. They have to move that stuff out. Then they have to allow the players to warm up, and then it's there.
So check them out, O-Line Grill, on Super Bowl, and then check us out at O-Line Grill for the Cincinnati Game Watch Party. But we got to talk about the main event right now.
Game of the week.
We have moved away from the Bobby Petrino hysteria of getting the new coach and all the excitement with that. And it's back to focusing on basketball and what a game against UConn.
I mean, I honestly was nervous. I felt good about where Louisville basketball has been the two games leading up to that against SMU and Houston. But you really never know because those two teams aren't historically good. They're not power programs like Connecticut is. They didn't have the strong backcourt like Memphis had, like UConn was going to have. And let's be real, man. I mean, the UConn backcourt got off. Yeah. But Louisville's front court, I mean, I hate to say it, they held it down.
Yeah.
They didn't allow UConn's front court to
Hey, you don't have to
anything.
Hate to say it. I hope I it keeps happening.
I didn't hate to say it, I guess is the wrong wording, but like I was surprised to see
it
because, you know, that's been the weak point. And UConn didn't get anything in the front court. UConn's guards scored all the points. Louisville out-rebounded UConn. It was a really all-around incredible game. And then we got to see the Kevin Ollie freak out.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Justified.
I had a lot of time with that.
Wayne fouled again. Now, look, folks, we're not going to say that the UConn guy wasn't doing some selling. He was. But we know Luke does that all the time. And we accept that foul to be called when Luke does it. So we know that probably should have been called against Wayne. Kevin Ollie had enough. He did.
I think so. I mean,
the biggest Gene Hackman from Hoosiers tirade that we've seen got kicked out of the game, and justifiably so for his behavior. And I also understand why he was that mad.
I would have been mad too, but you know, for once,
especially being at home,
for once, a call didn't go against Wayne Blackshear.
Yeah, and yeah, know, no kidding.
That's like the first one all year that you know, he really didn't have to take one on the chin. So I'm happy for Wayne.
Yeah.
He's looking good. But actually, Kevin Ollie was cut by Rick Pitino when he was a Boston Celtic. So, you know, I think he probably, really wanted to get that game. I think they have a good relationship. But
although Rick did give him kind of a compliment in a way where in the post game he said, I'd rather see Jim Calhoun kicked out of a game than
Absolutely.
Kevin.
Absolutely. Even as a spectator, I think we'd like to see Jim Calhoun just booted because, you know, that guy's just always just so cantankerous. Even during the game on Saturday night, he just didn't look like he was happy in life. He's made all this money coaching a sport. And he just looks miserable. I don't understand Jim Calhoun.
I have an almost Jim Calhoun story.
Oh, really?
All right, so when Louisville played Connecticut in the first game day Louisville ever hosted at Freedom Hall, it's against Connecticut. They had Villanueva. You know, they were really good that year. I think Rudy Gay was on that team as well. And we had David Padgett. We had a good team, and we're playing. And I get picked for the free throw shooting contest at the first timeout, where you go out and you shoot. And at that time, it was cricket. So it was however many free throws you make, you get 100 minutes per free throw, and they give you a phone. So
nobody even has cricket anymore.
Yeah, no, there's
it's
cricket out there.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's cricket's still a thing.
It's still a thing, and you can get iPhone on it. So
no.
All right, the cricket, and we're not promoting cricket, but it's pretty much one price for everything. Your free text, data, everything. But their coverage is so. So anyway, this is before smartphones. So this is a flip phone is what you're getting. But I went out there, and I was shooting them like a papa shot. I the first one I shot, complete air ball. And I played basketball in high school. Like I know how to shoot free throws. I shot it and complete air ball. And I heard the whole crowd
Boom.
Go, whoa. I mean, that's all I heard. It's like whoa, that was pretty bad. And I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing because I actually played basketball. But what was weird because the way the lighting is on the court, the backboard looked like it was 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide. It was really weird, the lighting. So
yeah,
I'm like,
ball was different.
So I'm like, you know what? I can't look at the backboard. I'm just gonna rhythm shoot. So I start grabbing it and shooting them like pop a shot.
Sure.
And I wasn't even like dribbling or preparing. I was just doing that and going through the motion because I'm like physically I know how to shoot a free throw. So apparently the lighting and my hand eyes off. And I ended up making seven almost in a row, including the money ball. But the funny thing is you start hearing the crowd, they get a little louder. They get a little
excited.
Louder. Get a little louder. And then I made the money ball where two, and they just went crazy. So I jumped down, did the Jimmy Connors fist pumping. And then I was going to run over to Jim Calhoun because it was a timeout and just start, like, pointing at him and, like, giving him the L and all that kind of stuff. But then I'm like, you know, that's probably one way I lose my prize and get kicked right out.
Probably how you get kicked out.
I had been drinking. It was game day, so everyone got there a couple hours early and was drinking. It was a Saturday night game, right? So,
Well, I'll never forget Freedom Hall. Those concourses, man, they were very friendly for the socializing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Yum Center, they have a couple areas that are really great for socializing, but the concourse is all general, just place to just hang out and drink. It's a different vibe. And but yeah, I can definitely see how you could get a little hopped up.
I was gonna go straight to Jim Calhoun on that one because I was on his side of the floor. We walked to the far side, and that's where they were.
I think we all have some good stories on at Freedom Hall, but that's pretty good.
Well, as a fan, that was pretty fun. So, but moving back to the game, so a couple things that we also saw was Mango Meme Face. So he had three blocks in the game, and after one of them, I swear it looked like he was about to just he's beside himself.
Does it seem like the light is coming on for Mango Mathiang? I mean, he played 17 minutes in the game.
Here's what I think. You know, his stats aren't much different, but his intensity looked way different in that game.
Right, and I think part of it is the stuff that you don't see in the stat, like not leaving your man on a defender, like not over-rotating, you know, and giving up the bunny, you know, getting back on defense, things like that. Like, that makes a huge difference for a team. It doesn't show up in a stat book, but like when you can count on your center to stay on his man when a defender is, you know, getting taken to the hole until the last minute and not allow that dish an easy basket, then you've made progress in your post game. And that was a big problem against against North Carolina and Kentucky. And then we even saw a little bit of that in the Memphis game. But, like, those two games especially, there was a lot of over-rotation in Louisville's front court, and we did not see that against Connecticut. It was really encouraging. So.
And I think seeing the fire also is important because I remember after his freshman year, Gorgie said, now that I've played in the Big East, I know what I need to do. Like, I need to gain weight. I need to get more physical. I need to play with more fire. You know, he actually said those things. And I think, you know, we've been missing passion most of this basketball season, and leave it to an old Big East competition rival, you know, to dig it out of us. But there was a lot. It was kind of like the playground brawl of, you know, this is them, because, you know, Connecticut is not coming with us, and they're going to be lost in this whole,
that's true,
you know, in the big conference play. So the fans,
the next time we play them, time for a while.
You remember how we felt when Pittsburgh and Syracuse were leaving and we played them? So their fans were extra hyped. That was noted on Twitter, and that's probably why, because we were leaving them, so we're now the jerks. And then we may never play them again. You know, that might be the last time the Connecticut fans ever see Louisville walk in that building, and they got to watch their team lose.
Absolutely. And, you know,
couldn't have happened to better folks.
I agree. You know, you make the Fiesta Bowl, you sell 4,000 tickets, but Mango.
Just a quick dig
for me
on our way out, Connecticut.
You know, Mango, for me, like, he's always this really happy guy. You know, saw him in the Final Four. He's just hanging out with fans, very happy to be there. Just a really engaging, polite person, but doesn't have the mean streak. Has never struck me as a guy who really had the drive that Gorgie had. When we went and talked to Gorgie Zhang every single time, it's like, I'm focused. I want this. These are my goals.
Gorgie didn't have a mean streak freshman year either.
But he didn't. And so it's encouraging to see the transformation, or at least to see that Mango has that side of him, and that he does care, and that he can grind down, and that, you know, I want to see a goal-driven Mango Mathiang at some point. But right now we're seeing freshmen, you know, and maybe he's going through a transformation, but Louisville needs it because the front court is three guys.
Unfortunately, we need him more than he's probably ready to give.
Yes.
And that's not fair to him. But I do like seeing that fire because we all know, and it's not fair to compare him to Gorgie. Okay, so they're both tall and from Africa. That's
he's just the most recent center. I mean, you know, they're both the most recent center.
We don't know what to expect out of his end result. We don't know what the end of Mathiang's development's going to look like.
It's probably not going to look like Gorgie.
But if he works as hard as Gorgie, he's certainly athletic. He's certainly fast.
Yeah,
he's certainly smart. So I mean, sky's the limit as far as I'm concerned. Who knows?
Well, the biggest issue for me is Montrezl Harrell playing 36-plus minutes a game. I mean, he's played 39 minutes against Connecticut. Louisville only played 8 players in that game because, you know, you're without Chris Jones.
And only seven with real minutes.
Right, right.
Because Henderson played eight.
Henderson only played eight. So you had a seven-man rotation. Tim Henderson was coming in relief for your guards, for Rozier and Russ. But my main concern with Harrell is, you know, he is probably the most perfect player to challenge to play that many minutes in a game.
Yeah.
But when you get into conference tournament play and you play games back-to-back-to-back in a single day, that's going to be almost impossible.
Yeah.
It's a physical demand that shouldn't be asked of a human being.
Yep.
And, you know, now, you know, he's got 3 or 4 days rest. He can manage that. You get in the NCAA tournament, you go to the conference tournament, and then you follow that up with an NCAA tournament you play every other day. That's hard.
Yeah.
Not to mention the physical grind and mental grind of a season is at its end.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the big worry. He could probably get through January and February playing like this, but can he do it in March? And maybe if he has to in April. That's the big challenge.
Yeah, and don't assume, folks, that we can sleepwalk through the conference tournament. There will be probably the first round game that Montrez could rest. But after that, you know, you're talking about, you know, if you go through to the Final Four of what you would think it would probably be Louisville, Memphis, Cincy, UConn. But SMU is a top 50 RPI, so that someone has to play SMU in the quarterfinals. So, I mean, there's really good teams. It's not as good as the Big East. You know, the Big East, the Elite Eight was, you know, could be the quarterfinals could easily be an Elite Eight in some years in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Well, but you know, there are going to be
backloaded.
Some, yeah.
Really. I mean, like, if you look at just the site that you shared with me, realtimerpi.com, the last part of the schedule is ridiculous.
Yep. Four of our last five games.
Yeah, four of the last five games. I mean, you play top 45 opponents, and then you get in the conference tournament, and then you get in the NCAA tournament.
And of those four that we play there in the top 45, three of them are on the road. So, I mean, this is a high-risk, high-reward finish to the season. So we're going to play South Florida Wednesday. They almost beat Cincinnati, so, you know, they're not a good team, but they're capable of a good game at home. Cincinnati took all they had to beat them 61-54. So after that, we got a very important game on January 30th, Cincinnati at home. So that's an RPI 21. You got to get the ones at home. Got to get the ones at home because then you get a sleepwalk through nothing better than 170 in the RPI five games in a row, making us crappy basketball players because of probably our focus will drop a little bit as we're playing these teams that are terrible. And then we return to Cincinnati after that long stretch of weak opponents, and that game's going to be scary.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is the time that if you have an injury, this is when you rehab it. And I think that's why Chris Jones will not be traveling to South Florida for the ball game.
Hope to sneak him in against Cincinnati a little.
I think he'll be back because, you know, you got 8 days in between the South Florida and Cincinnati game. If your oblique is not right after that amount of time that he hasn't been around, then there's something maybe a little bit more serious going on there. I think that if he had to go, if we played Cincinnati on Wednesday night tonight, then, you know, he might be able to play. You know, he might give it a go because it's South Florida. Then I think they're shelving him, and they're going to let this injury rest, give him the 8 days to heal and get ready for the Cincinnati game. And then after that, like you said, it's a desert of just terrible basketball teams until the close of the season. And unfortunately, the Cincinnati game will give you the last real look of what this team has to work on during that little stretch that they'll get. And they'll have 2 or 3 weeks to really work on their flaws, but then it gets real.
Yeah.
And seeding becomes important. Yeah. And you have to be able to win these RPI games, or you're going to end up a 6, 7, 8 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it matters more this year than most because we know we have flaws on this team. You do want to try to get the best advantage you can out of your seeding as possible. And then the second is the matchups matter more so than they did last year. Last year we were built to handle anything. This year the matchups matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to play the team with the elite front court like Kentucky or North Carolina and some of those? I know North Carolina's tanking lately, but it seems to be when we play elite front court teams, we struggle. Mm-hmm. So matchups are going to matter. Seeding's going to matter. But the team is getting better, and we've seen that. So Wayne coming off the bench, you know, has seemed to spark. I'll tell you, it's a little bit fool's gold there. Yes, he is playing better, But if you track TVT, which is the feature we do on permanent production, his production is really pretty much the same. He's just getting more minutes.
Yeah, I think the big reason why he's able to get those minutes is the Luke Hancock starting thing. You know, Luke going in and starting the game and not, you know, giving Wayne some time to see how the game's going to be officiated, you know, remain calm, mm-hmm. and not get that quick early foul is allowing him to play more minutes. It's a different Wayne Blackshear than what we've seen.
Yep.
And he's more assertive off the bench. And maybe that's a really subconscious thing that's happening for Wayne Blackshear, but it works.
Yeah.
And so whatever works, let's not mess with it.
And Wayne himself has said, sitting on the bench, I can watch the defense.
Yeah.
And then I can pick my spots on the floor before I even step on the court. So he is taking that information. And we all know he's a smart kid. He's number one on GPA on the team. He was number one in GPA in the Final Four last year of all teams. So he's a smart kid. So by him sitting on the bench, he's looking at the court. He's seeing what they're doing defensively against the wing spot.
Right, right.
And then he's seeing how far they come out or not, how far they go down with the wing or not. And then he's coming in 5 minutes later, 6 minutes later, a smarter basketball player. So instead of, you know, he does struggle to figure that out in live action as a starter. But yeah, coming off the bench, he seems to put it all together.
You know, maybe every time Rick Pitino talks about how we're not a good scouting report team, maybe he's talking about Wayne Blackshear, because he can yeah. see it in person
yeah.
better than he can see it on film and when the coach is talking
some,
about it.
Some are visual, different types of learning, right?
Yeah, maybe
some read, some watch. Exactly. So
maybe that's Wayne Blackshear, and you have to know your personnel. And you know, that's something that Wayne, you know, we're learning about Wayne this year, especially with the new rules, is that, you know, he has been a very bumpy at the beginning of the games, and he's gotten that little bump way out front that doesn't mean anything, but it cost him a foul, and then he ends up on the bench with the next one, and then we don't hear from him for the rest of the game.
Until
the second half.
Some point where he's kind of completely cold and
he's
starting over again.
And he sits on the bench, and he's kind of stewing, and then he comes in, and
rhythm.
He's mad at himself. He doesn't have a rhythm. So rhythm, Wayne Blackshear works. Sleeveless Luke Hancock works. Let's roll with it.
Luke's numbers, a lot of people, it is now, let me look this up real quick. So Luke Hancock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six straight games over a .50 TVT score. And .50 basically means you do one positive good statistic for the team every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's a very good score. That's a starter score. He has six games in a row, which is tied for second on the team with Russ Smith, of having a streak of a .50 or better. So Luke's playing great basketball. The leader in that streak is Harrell. He has nine straight games over .50. So, you know, congratulations to Harrell for that consistency. But sleeveless Luke. We saw it. A couple games. It was. Let me track this back. It was against FIU, and that was UCF. And we're
his jersey.
Yeah, it was like Luke. Luke's playing pretty good, and and Pitino just said he's able to practice more.
He lost part of his jersey.
Some undisclosed something they didn't want to talk about. They're just like, he's getting to practice more. It's like, okay, well, we know he had the Achilles issue. But they never really got. He never really talked about it.
I think maybe it's maybe his conditioning. You know, because like when you have a player who's come off an Achilles. You know, his conditioning's maybe not there, and so when he's out there practicing, he's asking to come out more. That's going to affect Patino's trust in him. It's going to affect Luke's shot in practice. It's going to affect his confidence if he's not hitting that shot. So I think his Achilles getting healthy, him being able to, you know, probably get his conditioning in order, is probably a big deal.
Yeah,
because he looks like the guy the last few games that we saw in March of last year. He is starting to look like the MOP.
Luke.
And when you can get the MOP Luke Hancock going with a really effective, calming influence like Terry Rozier to go along with a energetic Russ Smith and a confident Wayne Blackshear and emerging Manga Mathiang, you got the recipe for success. And so I think that's what we're seeing right now. So.
Yeah, and rebounding out of nowhere has been a lot better. And I know it's team rebounding, and we do know that Rozier rebounds well. That was Rozier statistically did not do well against UConn. Everyone loved how he ran the team and everything, and sometimes numbers don't show what you're doing.
Right.
But he did rebound really well, and he had 7 rebounds. And we had back-to-back games where we beat our opponent in offensive rebounds and total rebounds, and that hasn't happened all year except for against the extremely weak teams. And we haven't beaten a team in offensive and defensive, or sorry, total rebounds since Missouri State, who ironically is another RPI top 100 team. So maybe we focus.
Maybe it's coming around.
We play to our we play to our competition.
You know, I think part of this, what's happening, it's there's two real things.
We were fired up for UConn.
I think there's two things that are happening. Number one, being without Shane Bohannon and Chris Jones, you know, now for another game, I think that the team has now refocused. I think they're bonded together. They know that they're going to have to play more minutes. They know they're going to have to be more focused. They know that it's upon them.
Well, back against the wall mentality.
And I think that this adversity has really helped this team in terms of preparing and having the right mental approach going into a basketball game. The other thing that I think has helped this team is the Terry Rozier effect. He's not a great stat guy, you know, but what he does, what he doesn't do is turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
He's extremely good with the ball in his hands.
He's not looking to shoot first.
He's not looking.
So he's getting people involved, and you need to have your focus to get in any kind of rhythm in a basketball game.
He keeps the offense moving, but I think he's calming. So, like, when Chris Jones and Russ Smith are on the floor together.
Phenomenal scores.
You can score at any point.
Yeah.
But it's sort of frenzied. And when you get into the conference play and you're playing better teams, and when things go wrong, you need a calming influence on the floor. And I think that's what Terry Rozier
provides.
Peyton Siva
certainly gave us.
Exactly.
And that was the thing where I was really worried the most, was that calming presence. I think Russ has been dishing out almost 5 assists a game. He's doing awesome in that respect.
Yeah.
But he is a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and Chris Jones, he's done pretty well on assists as well, but he is a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
So when you need to calm down, you don't calm down by holding the AK.
No.
You know, you calm down. You need a calming influence. You don't grab your weapon to calm down.
Sure.
You need someone else to do that. And then when you need your score, you need your bucket, you need your big-time basket, you toss it to your weapon. So putting two weapons in the backcourt like that, I think, does get the front court a little out of sync.
Well, I think, you know, the boom factor is definitely more present when you have Chris and Russ.
Mm-hmm.
But the boom factor can kind of reverse boom on you fast with Chris
the
and Russ. The anti-boom happens, I think. We saw it a couple times, you know, the anti-boom with Chris and Russ on the floor. But I think what we've learned about our team is that when the anti-boom happens – you don't have to just stick.
Your voice cracked. Were you starting to cry?
I'm going to grow 6 inches this year. I'm going through puberty still. Chris, I think we learned about our team that Terry Rozier can come in and stop that and be a plug into, you know, a huge water break that's about to happen. He can come in and be that silly putty and stop a huge problem that's about to happen allow Chris or Russ
and
whoever
nothing
to calm down
Rozier at all. Like, he is all about business.
He is.
When he sits on the court, he's like, I'm just playing basketball. He's like, I don't care what the crowd is or what's going on. I'm just here to play basketball.
I love talking with him. He is always talking about how attentive he is with Coach Pitino whenever he speaks and how he's all about the team.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, I mean, his offense right now, I mean, he's shooting a very low percentage in these games that he's been playing a lot of minutes, but that won't happen forever. He's a freshman. He's a scorer. But right now, he's doing what he has to do.
But I'm going to give him a compliment.
Yeah.
His per-minute production is .54, which is starter grade.
And that is
a freshman.
A true freshman who came in. And, you know, honestly, we all just felt like if he could contribute 5 to 8 minutes a game, that would be a bonus. Played 33 minutes against UConn.
Yeah.
33 minutes. That's enormous. So
Louisville's looking really good. And also to compliment Louisville, last 3 games in a row, you know, whether that's Rozier in there or just the team clicking, the team as a whole, so everyone who played, you know, at least 5 minutes, is averaging 0.50 productivity score. So the team average is a starting score, which is great. And, you know, I talked about the streaks, but we'll have to see how that continues when we kind of get to that latter half of the schedule when we hit these road games. But Cards look like they're definitely playing better basketball right now. I think they understand that these opportunities are precious now. You always say, oh, do they pay attention? Of course they pay attention. They know the media is saying they don't have a lot of wins. Good thing about the Cardinals, they don't have a lot of bad losses. But I think we're going to get whatever we are, I think we're going to get our best focus and our best effort from here forward.
Absolutely.
And however good we can be, and that may not be as good as we want them to be.
My biggest worry just in these is just the depth issue. You know, I didn't think that would be an issue. But when you go Steve Vantrease, Montrezl Harrell, Mingo, Mathiang, and that's your front court,
yeah,
then you're a foul away, or you're an injury away, or you're a guy getting a cramp away,
yeah,
or anything can happen where a guy gets winded and he just starts playing bad defense or whatever it is. You are that instance away from really having a major, major problem,
yeah,
in your front court. So that's my biggest worry.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about the game to game to game. I'm kind of more worried about the aggregate until we get into the NCAA tournament.
And when Bahannon was playing for us, the last game that he played for us was against UK. And then he is gone. Well,
and he wasn't good against Kentucky.
Yeah, and we heard that, you know, Pitino say, well, I'm just going to develop a gal. And, you know, the gal's shown some good flashes. But the reality is are you? Because 4 of the last 5 games, he hasn't played a minute. So
sure. We
are not using a gal this year.
I don't think so. Not
only, I mean, if everyone has, like, 4 fouls.
You might use him at the end of the first half, kind of like you used Tim Henderson last year. If you have foul trouble, you plug in Hendo until so that nobody else gets a foul.
A non-threatening game situation. Let someone keep their fouls.
You know, it'd be great if Okoye could come on and, you know, gain some trust with Pitino to, you know, play a few minutes for the simple reason to just steal some minutes for Montrez.
Yeah.
Because if you get into a key game and in the second half, Louisville's up 6, 7, 8 points and you could steal 3 or 4 minutes with Okoye and only sacrifice a few points out of that lead, that would be tremendous.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now it's a 3-man rotation and it's going to have to stay that way. For the foreseeable future until next year, and we'll see what happens then. We're not gonna get too far ahead of each other, but I'm excited about this basketball team. I'm excited to see the real deal. We got to get through this little bit of stretch until it gets to crunch time. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and if you're listening to this on Thursday, I hope we did well. But Wednesday night, 7 p.m. On ESPNU, Louisville takes on South Florida. Louisville will be the favorite. South Florida probably put up a good fight, but only the way Louisville loses is if they beat themselves. So hopefully the Cardinals will kind of get one more final tune-up of whatever little last thing they want to install before Cincinnati comes to town on January 30th. That's going to be a huge game. I'm sure the crowd's going to be crazy. So we'll be looking forward to that as our next big game. But we don't have a lot to talk about with football, but we'll touch on a few things. So let's go ahead and go to football.
The O-Line Grill is Cardinal Central for U of L basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and 2 domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the Crunch Zone and head there for lunch. And get a buy one, get one free entree by texting Crunch to 72727. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End, on the front line of Cardinal sports.
All right, so the roster came out.
Well,
not a lot to talk about.
They updated. They took out Teddy. They took out Preston Brown and Damian
Calvin
Copeland
Pryor.
And Calvin Pryor.
Kind of hurt our feelings. These are kids we like.
It is. The classes and everything, it's not complete because it auto-corrected a lot of these guys who redshirted all to sophomores, and there's some different things that need to be updated. But, yes,
let's talk about a couple names. We don't have to talk about them as players because, quite frankly, they've been sitting out.
Yeah.
But there are some players I am excited. We're going to float some names out there in case you forgot.
Float them out.
One is the new name, Johnny Richardson.
Yeah, Dejon Richardson is now going by, here's Johnny.
I'm not sure why.
I have no idea why, but that is a player that is actually custom made for the 3-4 defense because he's too big, really, to play your traditional defensive end role, but he's not big enough to play your defensive tackle nose guard role. He's a guy who's actually perfect for the 3-4 defense.
And was he a former West Virginia commit?
He was, but also Florida State. And he's a big time football player. Yeah. So
that's a kid. You know, so you start to worry about, oh no, with the, you know, Bobby Petrino's now our coach, and we're losing a couple of these D tackles. Yes, we do want to get more D tackles, but in a 3-4, you're using a few less defensive linemen, and there is some really good recruiting classes Charlie had. He did not mess around.
Right.
So, Johnny Richardson. I can't wait for Kyle Shortridge.
Oh, Kyle Shortridge. Yes.
That guy was eating human beings at the combine.
I think so.
He's eating human beings.
Who can definitely play in the middle of that defense.
Both these guys, so you know, are 6'3", 290 range.
Yeah, and he has enough speed to play the outside. But I think Kyle Shortridge has the frame to play inside, potentially. We'll see what his updated weights comes in at. He's a guy that I think the last staff, Charlie Strong's staff, was hoping would play in the interior in the 4-3. But now with a totally different scheme, we'll see where he ends up. But he can play either side, I think.
And then Brown and Rankins, you know, these are guys that are going to be juniors for us. But some injuries they dealt with this year off and on. So do you know anything about kind of how they're doing on that?
I know that Sheldon played. D'Angelo Brown, I think, he wanted to play this year. And I know Jermaine Brooks also wanted to play. But they were conditioning-wise and where they were with Brandon Dunn and Roy Filon and how the rotation was going – the staff really didn't feel like it was smart to use up a potential, in D'Angelo Brown's case, redshirt year, and then Jermaine Brooks's case, a medical redshirt year, and mess that up for them. And, you know, now you have two more years of eligibility for Jermaine Brooks, and you have three more years of D'Angelo Brown.
If we lose a couple D-tackle commits in a transition year,
right,
this is what we have. Don't be worried about this year alone, because we'll have a great year next year in the ACC, and we'll be able to recruit the D tackles we need.
But these two guys are really great nose guards. I mean, they're the two guys that I am counting on to see them plug up the middle of that defense, take on double teams, and really make it possible for that 3-4 defense to go.
All right, so in the backfield, we're losing huge. I was talking to my friend Jason Hilliard for U of L fans. He played under John L. He played under Bobby. He will give us some Bobby insight. He's going to come in because he ran the offense with Stephon LaFleur's.
We need to get all kinds of Bobby Petrino people in. We have a bunch of them.
They both coach at Kentucky Country Day right now, and they're running Bobby's offense because they both ran it under Bobby. So he was an offensive line. He played in the pros for about 3 years. He had an injury. He is most concerned about safeties because Calvin Pryor and Akeem Smith are gone.
Yep.
So, you know, he's saying the communication on the back line is so big, and now you don't know if you're going to have a good communicator or not on that back line. But certainly we've got talent. I mean, we've got Terrence Ross coming off injury. I know they really liked him. Parnell was a big recruit. Chucky Williams, is he safety or is he cornerback?
He could go either way.
Because he's a big guy, right?
He's big enough to play safety. I think that's where they tried him last year. But sometimes freshmen don't stick in an exact position, so you don't want to pigeonhole a guy. But I think Terrence Ross is definitely a freshman who would have played last year.
Who's the boss,
year.
Ross?
But, you know, you also have Gerard Holloman. There are some
former U.S. Army All-American.
Yeah, there's some good options to go at the safety position. But you look at Hakeem Smith, who had a really nice East-West Shrine game that he played with Preston Brown in that game. They played well on that unit that actually won the ball game.
They played well for Louisville, too.
And then Calvin Pryor, I think a lot of draft people are out there saying
they're
pushing him towards
the first, first-round pick now.
He potentially –
don't know that he will get it.
He potentially could be the first safety off the board, and that is really impressive. I mean, we've all seen him play, and we all think highly of Calvin, but that would be something that I wouldn't expect. I thought he might be third or fourth best safety because this is a safety-heavy class, and that's actually one of the reasons why I thought it might be a good idea for him to think about playing in his senior year. Because there were so many safeties in this draft that are really draftable safeties, and if he's the first one off the board, that says a lot about what Charlie Strong and Tommy Restivo did with Calvin Pryor.
Heck yeah, and he was a big hitter. I forgot a lineman, another name to remember because we didn't really see him much this year, Finesse Middleton.
Finesse.
And that guy can play ball.
That guy, I think, is going to be really fun to watch because he could end up being a backer, actually, in this
defense. Yeah, his height, his weight isn't like, well, we'll see what update is, but yeah, 260, which is kind of small.
He's the exact same frame as Elvis Dumervil, 5'11", 260.
Yeah, but a 3'4 means more linebackers.
Extremely long arms, and he's just a monster pass rusher. He's the type of guy like Elvis Dumervil, like Marcus Smith, who just is a natural ability
Finesse.
To get into the backfield and get to the quarterback.
That's a hell of a name.
It is a hell
for
of
someone
a name.
Who's going to kill you.
For yes, I'm going to kill you.
My name is Finesse Middleton,
Finesse-ly.
And I am going to kill you. So Terrence Ross is a safety at 6'1", 186. They loved him in spring ball and preseason, and he tore the ACL.
Yep.
But he's someone to look. You know, Jermaine Reeve is back. We saw him do really well in the Sugar Bowl. Had some moments last year, although hard to overtake Hakeem and Calvin. But he's got experience.
I think he'll play safety. I think he played corner last year, but I think that was just to get him on the field. I think he will be in the safety position with Jerod Holloman. And then there will be a position battle there, maybe with Terrence Ross, maybe Chucky, you know, and a couple other
getting
guys.
Getting excited.
I mean, the safety position is going to be fun to watch, but
they're so talented that they probably just need to find the best communicators.
They maybe need to find the best who can tackle the best in the open field, because that's really where Hakeem Smith and Calvin Pryor were awesome for Louisville. They weren't, honestly, the best two coverage guys that you have. Like, if you look at their interception totals, you'd like those to be way higher, but they did not miss tackles. And the two cornerbacks, Charles Gaines and Terrell Floyd, were such good in coverage that they didn't have to be good in coverage. Mm-hmm. They could come up and make plays and support the run and then clean up their own mistakes. So that's going to be a huge thing to watch. Who can tackle? Who can communicate? And then if you're ball hawker, that's just a bonus.
Richard Benjamin, do we know if he keeps flipping and flopping? Is he going to be a wide receiver or cornerback?
I think
he'll be
a corner, or he could end up even being at safety.
All right, so he's a wait and see.
He's an extreme athlete that he could go 100 different ways, and with Louisville's wide receivers being extremely senior heavy, if they don't do well on the recruiting front this year, if they don't lock up Deshaun Blair, Isaiah Ford, and George Rushing, you could see Richard Benjamin back in the wide receiver role.
Well, we've talked about some new names there. Obviously, Preston Brown is going to be missed. Keith Brown hopefully be back from injury and ready to go.
I think so. Yeah.
But a new name that we were hoping we'd see more of him this year, but he just didn't crack it for some reason. James Hearns.
Yes, I think that guy is.
He was a very special recruit for Louisville.
He could come around on that outside linebacker role, maybe even in the middle linebacker role. But there's two middles. There's two inside linebackers. There's two outside linebackers. One of those outside linebackers in the 3-4 defense is actually more of a defensive end. So everybody talks about 3-4, and you have less defensive linemen. No, you have the same amount of personnel. You just format them differently.
Yeah.
So you can play them. You can play that extra linebacker at times. But for the most part, your base defense is for what you would call traditional D linemen. But you play two middle linebackers and then an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
So you don't have that small wheel linebacker.
So who do you think plays the middle? Because you also got Keith Kelsey in the mix who can play ball.
I think it's Keith Kelsey and I think it's Keith Brown.
Yeah.
And the outside linebacker is going to be your James Burgess. And then you might see James Hearns push in there for some bare defensive fronts. You might replace Burgess with Hearns, or you might replace Hearns, or you might replace one of those defensive ends with Hearns at times as well. So it just depends on formation, personnel.
Mission accomplished. Folks, if nothing else, we wanted to do that little segment there. These kids can play football. Half of these kids or more are from Florida. They're all big. They've been working hard, and they're going to be really good. So just remember, yes, we have lost some players that are been well, actually, some of these seniors have been the most successful in Louisville history in a two-year span. So,
and I'm excited about them in the draft. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be fun. Yep. But we recruited well for 4 years. I'm sorry Charlie didn't want to stay here, you know, forever. You know, we thought he might want to. But, you know, we don't hire coaches to love us. We hire coaches to direct the football program, and he did that excellent. And the reason why I am not stressing this year's recruiting class as much is because we've had 4 good years of recruiting by that staff. That staff was phenomenal. So thank you very much, Charlie, for putting us in a very good spot. Bobby Petrino, we know he knows how to win football games.
He's going
to
win.
He's going to love this team that he has, offensively and defensively.
The only thing that's happening right now is the recruiting. Last year was a thin class. They were really gearing up for a big class this year to kind of fill in some of those holes. But there's a lot of really good players that were held back in terms of redshirting and not on the field that we haven't seen yet that have been in development for a while. So that's exciting. And you're moving into the ACC next year. You have Bobby Petrino. Your defense is loaded up. And you are going to be able to really and truly win next year. Now, I'm putting it at 8 games.
Yeah,
that's my Mendoza line. If you win 8, then that's where you should be. If you win more than that, awesome. If you win less than that, you had a tough year in transition.
Yeah.
But they're replacing their quarterback, their head coach.
Quarterback of the defense.
And their conference.
Quarterbacks of the defense.
Yeah, because you're losing the entire middle of your defense. Your both defensive tackles, your middle linebacker, and both safeties.
Yeah.
So you're replacing all that, your quarterback, and your coach, and your conference.
Don't fret. Sounds scary.
It's a completely different football team. The root of your defense is gone.
So
your conference is totally different. Your coach is gone. Your quarterback is gone.
The confidence will be in, do you trust that the staff recruited well? Do you trust that the staff worked the whole team hard, not just a few guys? And my trust is, yes, they did.
Are they developed? And I guarantee you, Charlie Strong developed these guys. And I guarantee you, Bobby Petrino will continue these guys' development.
Yeah.
They're going to start mat drills now.
Yeah.
And they're going to end up going through mat drills all up to spring ball. Once they go into spring ball, they're going to be getting into Bobby Petrino's system.
Yeah.
They're going to hit that weight room in the summer. When they open up fall camp, Bobby Petrino's going to have them locked and loaded and excited, ready to play football.
Did they bring that lunatic who breaks boards over his head from Western Kentucky?
He is definitely in Louisville. And it's going to be interesting if he can.
84 lumber, watch out.
Yeah.
Your contractors are going to be mad when this guy comes and orders all the wood you got delivered straight to his face.
It's worrisome, but, he's here. And hopefully he keeps the violence to a minimum. But
Is there a concussion rule for coaches?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
We'll have to keep an eye out, see if he's at practice because of his concussion.
Maybe he'll tone it down, just focus on. I mean, obviously motivation is a huge thing with this guy. I forget his name. But motivation is obviously something he thinks about, and that's important.
Yeah.
When you're strength and conditioning coach, the grind of a football offseason is just absolutely brutal. So to be able to have somebody who has motivation on top of his brain is important. I don't know about the physical, self-violence or whatever. But that's a little different. But we'll see if we can get behind it. So
or at least get it on videotape.
Exactly.
We'll work it into a highlight video. It'd be good video. All right, folks. Well, that's all we've got now.
One last thing.
Yeah, because I pointed at you. That's what I was gonna say.
The ACC, the benchmark, the landmark moment that we've been waiting for forever. Happens tomorrow or today, 3 o'clock,
or
Wednesday at 3 o'clock. It may have already happened if you're listening to it later, but the ACC releases the football schedule on Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
Exciting.
It's going to be pumped. We're going to know the dates, and it's big day personally for me.
Because your ass is getting married next year.
I'm getting married on September 26th.
Oh, you don't even know.
And so which is a Friday. It's a Friday.
Oh, okay, so you're probably safe.
So the day that I'm really worried about is the game on the 27th. As long as it's not Florida State, I'm probably going to be okay because, the day that I get married, the day after, I think for the most part I can be in my wedding and not have to worry, the day after and, host guests and things like that.
Yep.
But if it was Florida State or if it was at Notre Dame, we'll see what happens. But
September 20, that's still preseason. Unless they, we do have where they said they're going to throw maybe the early Miami. We'll find out when they release the schedule.
Miami will be the opener. I mean, I feel really
outside
confident
of that,
that,
your conference games typically are going to be, you're probably fine.
It might be okay. I know we play FIU the 20th. That's already out. We play Kentucky the last weekend of the season, which is like the 29th.
You want to talk about filling the seats for senior night.
I know. Last game of the year, it's going to be cold. It's going to be Kentucky.
Yeah.
And that game could be a Thursday night. It could be Thanksgiving night. It could be Friday night of Thanksgiving.
They might need to build seats for that one. Senior night against UK.
And we actually know the date for Notre Dame.
I want to say it one more time. Folks, you realize how insane that is? Senior night versus UK.
I know.
Could there be more of an emotional explosion than that? Well, UK on senior?
If we have the year that we think that we're going to have, honestly, the closing day of that game, really, I mean, it'll be emotional for people who don't like Kentucky.
Yeah.
But honestly, they're not beating Kentucky's not really the goal.
No.
They're Louisville football anymore.
No, I'm just saying what a hell of a season versus
it's
Memphis.
Great. It's always great to beat always great to beat Kentucky in anything, and you know, you expect to beat them in
football. Well, you want your easy games on senior night.
And you do want your games on senior night. So
I'm so excited about Florida State coming to Papa John's.
I am too. Jameis Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner, the defending national champions.
What a year coming
up. It's gonna be fun. You better get on your season
Such
tickets.
The opposite. Mark and I have talked about this all year. The passion when you follow up year of the Cardinal, which has been amazing, and then you turn around and say, "Okay, here's your womp womp schedule from AAC."
It's kind of the year of the
football,
duds.
Yeah, and then the womp womp schedule in basketball. There's a couple good games, but you know the whole it just isn't the same. Well, oh my God, is that going to flip? It's going to go year of the Cardinal, crazy excitement because of success. This year is the year of the womp womp, and then next year is going to be crazy excitement because all the introductory to ACC everything. It's going to be so much fun.
I should have got married this year.
You should have.
But I messed up.
The year of the womp womp.
The year of the womp womp.
That's the year I lost my ability to be single. The year of the womp womp.
The year of the womp womp. Instead, I'm going to get married right in the middle of all the excitement of being in the ACC.
Oh, we'll be there.
But
you won't.
Maybe
we'll
be
having
like
all the
Boston
fun.
Boston College or some game that, you know. I haven't missed many games of Cardinal football the last few years in person, period, home or away.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm due to miss one, and I'm probably going to miss one.
I hope it's a big one.
September 27th.
I hope it crushes you.
I hope like crazy it's not Florida State.
I hope it's Florida State and it crushes you.
But we'll find out.
All right, folks. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in for this week's Crunch Zone. Remember, we're on iTunes, so you can set this up for automatic download. We're on Louisville.am. They co-hosted the party with us at O-Line Sports Grill. Make sure to check them out. Louisville.am has other Louisville broadcasts like beer and food and startup business. We're just the UofL sports offering. Louisville.am's got a lot of good stuff. And remember to check us out on thecrunchzone.com. Mark's going to be putting out a little roster observations article this week, so check that out. He always has a lot of good insights. He's going to be looking for who's missing, who's staying, and see what kind of information he can find out behind the scenes. But check us out this week and every week. And thanks for joining us on thecrunchzone.com's broadcast of the Crunch Zone podcast.
Louisville first,
go Cards.
Cars forever.
I promise to rep the veal and nothing.